sweet speech. Lord, for the songs, the words that have been spoken. Lord, may you quicken all to our hearts. May you take the furtherance of the service, Lord, and speak to us by your word. Lord, that not just here, but those that would listen in, Lord, that maybe now and will in the future, Lord, that you would just give us revelation daily, Lord. Open our hearts, our understanding. Give us wisdom and guidance. Lord, be with Brother Michael, Lord, working, and those, Sister Bride, Joe, the different ones, Lord. You know their needs. You know their hearts. Sister Esther, she's there in Kenya with Sharon and the family. May you bless them and be with them continually, Lord. We pray for Sister Evelyn, Lord, that you would continue to bless her, give healing and strength to her physically, spiritually, Lord, every way. We just thank you and praise you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We're happy to be here tonight, and we just thank God always for the opportunity. And I've been missing, and I had been trying to go and visit since I had got back from Kenya, and so the door finally opened, and I took it, and so then but now we're glad to be back home. And we I talked to Brother Goomba today because I knew he had more on the, he said he had one more, but I think he has many more. Because it's a big subject, and I think that it's going to help a lot of the people. And that he's kind of opened a door that there's a lot of ground that he can cover there. And but I told him I had it on my heart that I wanted to greet the people, talk to the people. And I have one quote, really. I have a lot here tonight, but we won't get to it all, but I have one quote really that I wanted to share and get across, and it's kind of the basis of my message tonight. And the last service that we ministered, we talked about the Logos, we talked about God and the Word, the Logos coming out of Him and manifesting. And so we've been on the Godhead for a few services now, and I'm kind of titling each one individually, and I haven't put it together as a subject of the Godhead, but that's what it is. And so tonight I want to talk about His deity. And that's the question. And the question is, was he deity? And you say, well, naturally he was deity, but that was the question that came up to Brother Branham. And there's some quotes here that I wanted to share with you on that subject. But first, I wanted to give you greetings from Chico and the girls, and from Brother Isaac Rose and their girls, the children there, Gerald and Joanne and the family there. Each one, we had a good visit with all of them. We got to go and visit a church there in Edmonton. We had to drive back, of course, from Fort Mac to Edmonton to visit the church. But I was wanting to visit the church, and Brother Isaac has really, the Lord's really been dealing with his heart, and he's feel like that God has given him a closer walk. And he, every time we talk, he just wants to talk about the Word. And so I thank God for what God is doing for him and for the family there. And so it was just a good time in the Lord. And then I had some more experiences, some natural experiences. One, I learned how to ice skate. And never in my life have I done that. And I waited till this old age to learn how to do that. And it was really quite an experience. We learned inside on the indoor rink, and then outside on a pond. And so there, the city, in the wintertime, they go out and they test the ice. They drill holes in it to see how thick it is. And then when it gets thick enough, they drive their tractors out there on it, and they groom it, and then the people skate on it. And it's quite an experience. And the cold is another experience there something. The coldest now that I've ever experienced is minus 38. And that's not the coldest that they have there. But it was that when I was there, and minus 31, minus 30, in 28, in that range, 24 to 30. And it stayed like that the whole time. One day it got up right as I think the day I was leaving, the day before I was leaving, I think it was 3 degrees. That was the warmest. The warmest was that day. But the interesting thing is, you for a week or two like that, you go from the 30s and come back to 10, and 10 starts feeling pretty good. And that's what people were telling me when I first got there, and I was like, no, it's freezing. It's freezing. It's 10 below zero. And so, but they were okay. They were feeling, no, this isn't too bad, really, it's not. And so you do that for a week or two, and then 10 starts, you're kind of thankful for 10, because 38 is just bitter. It's just bitter, bitter cold. So we thank God. We had a really good trip, a good visit, and we thank God for that. And so now I'd like to get right into the Word, and I took the title Deity in Service to God for Death. And so I have a couple quotes here, and they're after the seals. And I want to read them. He's talking a little bit about deity. And then I want to go back to an older message in God's Gifts Always Find Their Places. And that was actually a Christmas message Brother Branham was preaching. And he talked about Christmas and, and all of the junk that goes with it, and where they miss it, where they miss Christ, where they miss that. And he talks about the gifts, and he talks about all that stuff. And so I would like to cover some of that, but there's no way I could get it in tonight. So I've cut out a lot of those things. And so, but first, I have two definitions here of deity. One is the Bible definition of deity, and in that it is, in the Bible, the term deity refers to a divine being or God, usually associated with supreme power and worship. And that's in the Bible. And then in the dictionary, the rank or essential nature of God, divinity. And I really like that because it speaks of the nature of God. And so we know that Brother Branham spoke of that's the eternal part. And so what God's nature is his very attributes. So when those attributes become thought, and they become word. So then, the other ones here, I'll read them to capitalize God's sense, one, supreme being. So let's see, to God or goddess, the deities of ancient Greece, and one exalted or revered or as supremely good or powerful. In American deities, as Daniel Boone and Kit Carson, and we find that's a long ways from deity to a believer. And see, then and then another man, the deities of the banking world, and so that's all in the natural. That's in the carnal, and so we don't look to that. But the nature of God, that's another thing, and so He is the deity. We know God is deity. So, that being said, in 1956, in the message of True and False Vines, Brother Branham, he's opening here, and he says, "Thank you, Brother Moore. Good evening, friends. Good afternoon, rather. And I want to thank the little lady for the song, the sister, for playing it. That's my favorite of all the hymns that I know, because it speaks of our dear Lord Jesus and gives to Him what He is, deity manifested in flesh, deity." Manifested in flesh. That's what he is. In the day that when we have so many vain philosophies in the world, see, oh, that he's a good man, some say, or he was a prophet. Oh, he was more than a good man. He was more than a prophet. A prophet's blood couldn't save us. See, he was the Son of God, the manifestation. God manifested in the flesh. He was either God or the biggest criminal the world's ever had, see? And he was deity, wrapped in a bundle of flesh. That's what he was. He was deity. And that's why the Brother Branham said one place, he said he was 100% God. Said he was 100% man. That's what he was. It was deity in a man. So he came down and he gave his life for us. And I'm so happy for that this afternoon to know that he included me in that redemption. See? Okay. So that, then we're going to Unveiling of God, paragraph 226. The little woman said, I know Messiah is coming, which is called the Anointed One. See? The Anointed One will come. And this is the time for him to appear. We know when he comes, he'll do these things. He'll tell us these things. And he said, I'm he. And her eyes was opened. Huh? The priest was blinded, but her eyes were opened. And that's what the gospel always does. It opens the eyes of some, reveals the truth to some, while it blinds the others. Has a twofold meaning. Some can take that son, S-O-N, and look straight into it and go blind. And others can take it and walk out with it. See? It's the difference. That's right. And it, as it was done in every age, deity veiled in human flesh. Now he's saying in every age, in every time, he's saying that deity was veiled in human flesh. So God was veiled in human flesh over and over and over again. That deity was veiled in behind skin. See, they was the Word of God. Is that right? Veiled in human flesh. So they didn't notice, or Moses either, see, Jesus. They didn't notice. They didn't recognize. They didn't recognize the presence of God. We recognize the presence of God. Those disciples recognized the presence of God. The rest of them missed it. The ones who knew the Word so well, they missed it. They didn't know. Notice, veiled behind the old badger skins in the old temple was the Word. Was the Word manifested on tables of stone. There it was behind skin. When it came into man, it was behind skin. In the mighty God unveiled. Paragraph 130. Then he was God. In them days, it was God in a man, his son, Jesus Christ. We believe that. Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man. See? Ordinary human. It was God in Christ, God in a man. The fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. What was it? It was the fullness of the deity of God was dwelling in a man. God in a man. Now it's God in men. Is that right? Now it's in a many-membered body. The fullness of God in the Godhead, bodily in his entire church. Your part, your part, your part, your part of that. That fullness now. In at one time, he was in part in man. Now he's put the fullness in man. Manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. See? Now we find God in all ages has had skin on it. He, God, has been hid behind the veil. And it just reminds me of a little story that happened down in the South. So that there was a Christian home there, and then in this Christian home, they believed God, and they thought, they believed that God protected them from all troubles, and which he does. And they had a little junior, a little boy about 7 or 8 years old, and he went to Sunday school, and he was a very fine little lad, but he was scared in a storm, especially when the lightning was flashing. And I told this to a man the other day when this piece had come out about this man being healed. The same minister said, they make a God out of you, Brother Branham. Well, he was a critic. So I thought, well, I'll just kind of break it off just a little bit, you know, not to hurt, you know, but just kind of, I said, is that so far from the scripture? To be that, huh? To be that God in man. Is that so far out? See, I said, no, it isn't. I said, because Jesus called the prophets God. See, that's right, God. And they say, well, you people try to take the place of God. That's not too far out. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Think, it's not that we're trying to do something ourselves, but it's that He is doing something. And He chose to do it through you. He chose you to manifest Himself. God chose you that He could manifest Himself in flesh. They say, well, you people try to take the place of God. That's not too far out. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly. God manifested in flesh, just as He promised. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. He's in flesh. And the little family, and he tells a story there about the little boy and the storm and the flashing and the lightning, and he keeps calling his mom to come up and talk to him and comfort him and just to be there. Paragraph 139. She had went up last two sentences before. And she said, what do you want, Junior? Said, come up here and sleep with me. So she come up the steps like any good, loyal mother would, and she came up. She took little Junior in her arms. She said, Junior, mother wishes to speak to you just a moment. Said, all right, Mama. Said, now you must bear this in mind. We go to church constantly. We read the Bible. We pray. We're a Christian family. We believe God. And said, we believe that in storms, whatever goes on, God is our protection. And he said, Mama, I believe every bit of that. But said, when that lightning is so close, he said, I want a God with skin on it. I want a God with skin on it. And that's a natural thing. It's a natural thing to want that. And it's made me think one of the girls, Annalise, I noticed that the house there, there's a basement where they have the furnace and the washer and the dryer, and it's just unfinished, but that's where they put the furnace in. She's afraid to go down there. And if she needs to go down there for something, she wants somebody to come down with her, because there's something about it that being an unfinished area that it bothers her. And so she won't go down there alone. Now, if somebody goes with her, she'll go down there and play. She can stay all day and play and do whatever, but she won't go down there alone. She wants the comfort of someone with her. And that's a natural thing for us. There's times we all have fear. We all have those things. But this God that people put way out somewhere, He's right here among us. He's right here, and He's in one another. And that's the reason why we get strength, we get comfort from one another. It sometimes, when you, even for ministers, you're not always, you don't always feel so bold and so strong and like you're ready to take on the world. But sometimes when you do what you have to do, you do the best you can. But there's a lot of comfort when you have other brothers standing with you. And so it means a lot. It means so much to us in every way. And this is the reality of it, that it is God. It's deity in flesh. The same deity that was in Christ in its fullness, that fullness is now in a many-membered body. And that, I was talking about that this morning. We ministered this morning online. And people are running. Some people are afraid of one in many. They're afraid of a many-membered body. And so that became possible because of the fall. It's not a punishment because of the fall. It became possible because of the fall. It is something that God wanted to manifest. He dwelt alone. He dwelt alone, the eternal spirit. But He wanted fellowship. And He was going to manifest Himself in a many-membered body. And just as the fall opened the door for Him to be a Savior and to be a King, to be a husband, it opened the door for him to have a many-membered body. And that's what he has. And Brother Branham said, in the millennium, it will be one Christ on the throne with a many-membered body. That's not going away. People are trying to say, well, it was done away at Calvary, or it was done away when the seals was open. It was done away here. It was done away there. It wasn't done away. That many-membered body will continue right on because it's him. It's every bit him. And the fall opened the door for all of it. And so the fall wasn't a mistake. The fall wasn't... God had it. He worked everything perfectly so that he could bring forth his attributes, every bit of it. So he wanted a God with skin on it. And we all do. See? So I think not only Junior, but all of us feel that way. When we get together, we pray one for another, God with skin on it. See? That's right. And we find out here that God has always had on him. When Moses seen him, he had skin on him, and he looks like a man. And when God was behind the curtains, he had skin on him. And God tonight in his church is veiled in his church with skin on it. See? He is still the same God tonight. We find that. But now as ever, the skin veil is what catches the traditions. They just can't believe that is God making them people act like that. Think about that. See, it's because God is veiled in his church. Now, what it did at Pentecost, that's not the same thing it's doing today. Today, it is bringing a body, it is bringing the person in a union with Christ, becoming one with Christ, in a holy union to reproduce him, to through spiritual multiplication, to impregnate them. He's impregnating them with his word to manifest he himself, to bring forth him. See, skin on it. That's right. He is hid from the unbeliever and revealed to the believer. Yes, sir. Now, when their tradition veil of traditions of the elders and the word is broke through, of course, today, then comes in plain view, we see him. Deity again, veiled in human flesh. Hebrews 1 said so. That's right. Also, Genesis 18. Remember, God was a man standing there, eating, talking with Abraham, told Sarah what was going on in the tent behind it. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Deity, veiled again in human flesh. Remember, Jesus didn't say when the Son of God is being revealed. Luke 17, I believe, somewhere along there, when the Son of Man is being revealed. The Son of Man. Back in the church again. Back in the church again. Notice how he's relating that. Notice how he's tying that in. See, the Son of Man, back in the church again, revealed in human flesh, not as Son of God. But the Son of Man again, back in his church again, in the last days, we find that he promised that in God's promises. That's right. 148, we notice another thing in the Old Testament. I have scripture here in Exodus. The old badger skins, what did it do? It hid the glory of God from the people, the badger skins. Even people couldn't see it because it was the skin that held it, see? The glory of God was behind the skin. Now the glory of God is behind your skin. That's right. And the traditions don't see it. It's inside the veil where his word was, where the Logos was. That's right. See, right there. What was on the inside of that skin back there? The old badger skin? See, there was no beauty we should desire him. And when it was made flesh and dwelt among us, there was no beauty we should desire it. That's the same thing today. There's nothing in a man or a woman that can't be desired. It's what's in behind there. That's what it is. Well, you say, that fellow, I know he used to be a drunkard. He used to be this. I don't care what he used to be. Is that right? I don't care what he used to be. That's got to be putting in the book of forgetfulness, in the sea of forgetfulness. See, What's behind, that's what counts. What is behind there, that's what counts. That's what the people is blinded to. See, the skin blinds the people. See, they say, I remember when that woman used to. I know what she used to. But what about now, see? Them skins that once on the badger, but now is hiding the glory of God. Every one of us can say that. Every one of us know what he did for us. What the old man used to be and what it is now. It's housing the glory of God. And so can your skin be changed tonight. See, to be made a housing place for God. God dwelling in humanity. That's right. Praise God. Now, this is the message now. God's gifts always find their places. And this message, I had a hard time finding this quote. I finally found it while I was away. And I'd been looking for it for quite some time. And somehow or another, even when I was searching deity, I knew the word was there. I wasn't getting it. I was trying using different keys. But I had a brother in Kenya, an older brother, an elder brother. And I was able to see him this time. And I hadn't seen him in many, many years. And the last time that I remember meeting him, I don't know, brother, if there was a time in the Theka meetings that he came after that. But from Meru, we met with this brother and we was having a meeting after the services were over, the convention was over, and we were having a meeting in a little building there as you go out the gate with just the ministers. And this brother and I, we were talking, and he was they were disagreeing, him and his sons and his brother were disagreeing with what I was talking about on the Godhead. And so I kind of made it easy for myself. I don't want to say I was setting him up, but I was making it easy for myself. He said, when we get together again, we're going to talk about this. We're going to take this subject. And I said, okay. I said, let the question be this. Was the flesh of Jesus Christ deity? And he said, okay. He said, that's it. He said, when we come, you bring your quotes, I'll bring my quotes. Was the flesh of Jesus Christ deity? And so I already had my quote. Back then I had, before I'd lost so much of my study, I already had my quotes. And so I felt like I already had the discussion nailed down. And so I think those meetings, brother, was 2005, 2006, somewhere way back there. And anyway, so at some point in time, the brother quit coming around to our meetings. And so we hadn't talked. And so I got to talk to him this time. And I wanted so bad to share with him these things and hopefully on a better note, just as a brother sharing with one another. But we never got to it. And so I didn't bring it up. Anyways, so it's been with me. I had it on my heart for some time. I'm going to read it to you tonight. This quote. And Jesus said, let her alone, for she did this. She anointed him unto his burial. See, this woman, so grateful that her sins were forgiven until she spent all of her money she had and took an alabaster box and broke it and poured the oil and just odored the room with fine smell of this myrrh that she had anointed him for his death. Now, see, she did the service not knowing what she was doing. But she was so grateful to God. And I think sometimes we're in the same place. Sometimes we don't know what God's doing. And we're just yielding ourselves. We're just going. And afterwards we see that this was something great that God did. Or he was helping somebody. He was manifesting. He was testifying. He's doing something. And so we want to be yielded to him always. I want you to drop down now to paragraph 93. Now notice, and after then the wise men identifying him, what he would be. And we find through the scriptures, that's exactly what he was. They were identifying him. See, deity in service for death. That's what he was. Deity in service for death. What for? Deity in service to God for death. Jesus was deity in service for death to redeem the world. And when we read it like that, we just say it like that. He was deity. But in one place, Brother Branham says, he was just a man. And another place, he says he was 100% God. So he's saying it with understanding what he's saying. And so every time he says it, he can just say it was deity. But he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. But what did the world do to it? They refused it. They rejected it. Why? Some of them, a big part of them, did because this. Because that he did die. Think about this now. God can't die. So deity can't die. Is that right? Deity can't die. So some of them said he couldn't be deity and die. That was a problem. They thought, okay, so we thought he was God, but now he can't be God because he died. Is that right? Mm-hmm. The man, the body, was not deity. Now, the dictionary is calling Daniel Boone deity. That's not the understanding. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is this could not be a supernatural body that couldn't die. This was a flesh body, flesh and blood, that could die. That's the purpose he was made for. He was made so that God, the fullness of God, could tabernacle himself in this veil of flesh, and the veil could die, but God couldn't die. So that's, to me, that's the mystery right there. That settles the whole thing. He says it all around it over and over and over and over, but here he nails it down perfectly. Perfectly. He couldn't be deity and die. The man, the body, was not deity. But deity was in the body. That's the simplicity of it. That's the simplicity. And that's why when he said, God is not one like your finger, there it is right there. It's the Spirit and the Word. And the Word was in this man. It was in this man. This body has to perish. The very God that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. That's deity. That's God in you. The very thing in you is the thing that can raise you up. That quickens that soul, that nature in there, that quickens it and brings forth the manifestation. I want to say it. I want to read it one more time. See, some of them, a big part of them, they did this because he died. And they said he couldn't be deity and die. The man, the body, was not deity, but deity was in the body. This body has to perish. The very Christ that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. It's deity, God in you. That's right. See? Now notice now, the same as now. They reject identified deity. What are they rejecting? Identified deity. Because they don't recognize the identification. They don't recognize the vindication of it. They didn't recognize it in the prophet, and they don't recognize it in you. But God is identifying himself in the bride. He's vindicating himself in the bride. And it's because there's only one group of people on this whole earth that can recognize the presence of God, that can walk in the kingdom of God, that can recognize the full revelation of the word of this hour, of the manifestation of Jesus Christ today. All that he promised to do today. There's only one group of people on the earth today that are able to see that and to see it plainly, to see it clearly. And that's their identification. That's their vindication. And God is vindicating that. And they see it in one another. They recognize it in one another. No matter how much our fleshly personality, no matter how much you look at me and say,
I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I don't like that. I got plenty of features that people don't like. And you can say, I don't like this about his personality. I don't like that. That's okay. But what you really look at is you ignore all of my faults, all of my fleshly things. I can do some things that bother you. You might could do some things that bother me. But there's one thing we recognize in one another, and that's this revelation. And that's the thing that matters. That's the thing that we care about. That's it, more than anything else. That's the thing. And that's what we look to. And when I'm looking at you, I'm looking at the revelation in you. I know if I go too far with that, I'll get out there and not get back. So I better not go there. Paragraph 95. I didn't finish that. Let's see a little bit more. See, they'll take an oath by this, but when it comes to accepting deity and expressing back the same kind of gift like they did, that you are identified by your gift. See? That you give your entire being to it. See? To identify deity. Then you identify yourself with the deity by giving all that you are, what you are, see, to deity himself. And now, this, like I said, this was a Christmas message. He's talking about Christmas here. And there's a lot of here. Some of it I just skipped over. But he's talking about the gifts, giving the gifts and all of those things. And when you read this, you wonder how the people got to giving each other gifts. Because the gifts was giving yourself. That's what it was about. That it was to give yourself a living sacrifice to him. And so, of course, we know it's not his birthday, okay? But if you go to a birthday, you're not expecting them to give you a gift. You're giving a gift to the person whose birthday it is. And that's just a natural thing. And so you wonder how they get to where they are. So listen, 95. Now, Christ in this day that we now live in is still deity, identifying himself. Deity among the people. He's still deity because he's the Word. And when we see the Word living itself, then we know that man can't do that. Is that right? We know that man can't do that. They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't keep it, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts. Man could never do it himself. It takes God to do it. It takes him to do it, every bit of it. So that's why it all fails. And that's why man takes his idea and denominates it and they die right there. They try to take something and build a wall around it. And that's where they leave him at. See? All right. And when we see the Word living itself, then we know that man can't do it. It's deity, the Word being made manifest by man. See? And Jesus said himself, the Son can do nothing in himself. See, I can't do nothing. I'm a man. Jesus said, but my Father that dwelleth in me, he showeth me all things that himself doeth. Amen. There you are. What is it? It's deity being identified in man. Now, the same thing is today. That deity, the promised word for this day, can identify itself in you. And that's what it's doing. It's identifying itself in you. Amen. Then can you hold to it, show that you believe it, give it deity, believe it, service, be ready to die out to yourself and your own thoughts. But today it's rejected as it was then. But not with the bride. Not with the bride, because the bride has that quickening power, that seed, life, that soul of God,
And so it can't do anything but surrender all to him. Paragraph 102. Then when he come, he was the fullness of all the prophets manifested, because they were the word of the Lord. What was they? They were the word. See? And he said himself, if you call those gods whom the word of God come to, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? See, even those in that age was identified as gods. Deity. Deity was in their flesh. Some of that deity was in them manifesting what it was. They were manifestations. What were they? They were manifestations, see? God called them gods. See, they were manifestations of his word. And here was he, the fullness of the word, deity embodied. Deity manifested in the flesh. Is that right? Not the flesh. Not the flesh was God. The flesh was a man. The flesh could die. The flesh, it was flesh and blood. That's right. Dropping down to paragraph 70, and my time is up, but I'm going to just read this last quote if we can. I've said this before. It might stand again. I was talking to a woman not long ago with a certain church that I mentioned a while ago that doesn't believe that he was God, his deity. He was just a prophet, an ordinary man. He was that, truly. He was that plus God, see? He was the manifestation. Jesus is the body. Who? Jesus. Jesus is the body. The boy, the man, God was what dwelt in him, in the body. God was in him. He was a God-man. He was a man, yet he was God manifested in flesh. And when we see Jesus, we see God. Is that right? Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. That's what he said. When you see the Father, see me. You see the Father because he was the reflection, because he was the Word. Amen. He was in the beginning. What was in the beginning? The Logos that came out of him, the Word. He called the prophets God. See? Do you know that? Who? Who is the one who started that? Who started calling those prophets God? God did. God called them gods. He said, you call them God whom the Word of God come to. How can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? Because the same word said he would be there, and there is the word made manifest again, and still they wouldn't believe it. See? And this woman said to me, I can prove to you. And said, I like to hear you preach, but said there's one thing that you do too much. Well, I said, what's that? She said, you brag too much on Jesus. Now, you know what denomination that is. You know where they take that. But anyways, so he's talking with her. He said, well, I hope that's all he has against me when he comes. I think that's a pretty good answer there. And she said, I said, I hope that's all he can find fault in me. See, I said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I could not speak enough. Oh my, what he is. And she said, but you make him God. And I said, he was. Or if he wasn't, he was the greatest deceiver the world ever had. She said, he was a prophet. I said, he was a prophet. That's true. A God prophet. The fullness of the word. The prophet just had the word come to him. And that's what made him a prophet. He was the fullness of the word. A prophet has the word comes to him. But this prophet was the fullness of the word. He was the fullness of Godhead. And she said, I can prove to you, said, you make him divine. I said, he was divine. And she said, he can't be divine. Think about it. I said, but he was. She said, you believe the Bible. I said, I do.
She said, I'll prove it to you by your own Bible that he wasn't divine.
What?
Just think. You know, when you find that, you know you have somebody here that doesn't know who they're talking to. You know, it's like a kindergartner talking to a professor. It's like, you know, it's somebody who does not recognize that this is the voice of God. This is the prophet of God. This person has no clue who they're talking about. If they did, they'd forget about their idea. She said, I'll prove it to you by your own Bible that he wasn't divine. I said, do it. If the Bible says so, then I'll believe it because I believe the word is right. And she said, on the road from down to Lazarus' graves, you remember in St. John 11? I said, I certainly do, madam. Said, well, now on the road down, he cried. The Bible said he wept. I said, certainly the Bible said he wept. I said, how could he be divine? She said, how could he be divine and weep? I said, he was a human. He was human and divine. I said, yes, lady, you fail to see. He was a man going along there, crying with those that were crying. That's right. Grieving with those that grieved. He was a man. But when he straightened his little frail body up and said, Lazarus, come forth, a man that had been dead for 4 days stood on his feet. That took more than a man. That wasn't the man. The man was the one who said, I don't do anything until he shows me. That's right. I don't do anything till first he showed me. Brother Branham said, and I think I cut it out, but Brother Branham was talking about the story he had all about Mary and Martha and about the woman at the well and the different ones. And he, when he was talking about them, and I don't remember which one got, if Mary got Martha or Martha got Mary and came to him. And so he was talking to her and telling her. And she's saying she just wanted him to speak the word. She just knew that if he spoke the word, that it would be done. Because she believed that he was the word made manifest. And so Brother Branham said he would have did it right then. When she spoke it, he would have did it. But Brother Branham said the vision that God showed him would not allow him to do it right then. The vision that God showed him was he had to be standing at the grave and he had to speak and call for him to come back. So he couldn't do anything but what the Father showed him. That was the man. That was the man. Completely yielded to God. But that spirit inside of him was the fullness of God dwelling in that man, in that flesh and blood man. I said, yes, lady, you fail to see a man going there crying with those that were crying. That's right. Grieving with those that grieved. He was a man. But when he straightened his little frail body up and said, Lazarus, come forth, a man that had been dead, that took more than a man. That was God in a man, in the man. Who can raise the dead but God? He is the resurrection and the life. That's right. One night out on the sea, when he was out there, tired, laying in the back of the boat, where 10,000 devils swore they would drown him that night, and that little boat flopping around like a bottle stopper out there on the stormy sea, them devils thought, we got him now. He's asleep. We'll sink the whole bunch. Oh, he was a man, tired. But once aroused, he stood his foot up on the braille and looked up and said, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed him. That was more than a man. He was a man when he was hungry. He come down off the mountain looking for a piece of bread, something to eat, or a fig tree. But when he took 5 biscuits and 2 fishes and fed 5,000, that was God in a man. That's right. That's what it was. It was God in man. Deity hidden in a man. Not the flesh. Not the flesh. The flesh was a man so it could die. But God was in that flesh. And God was in full control of that body. In full control. And that man was completely yielded to God in every way. And That's exactly what he wants in us. Amen. Exactly what he wants. And we thank him and we praise him. And so we appreciate God. I'm going to ask Brother Goomba if he'll come and dismiss us in prayer tonight. We'll ask you to stand together with us. We thank God. We thank him for revelation. We thank him for his word. We thank him for all things. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you very much for the downfall. That's always, sometimes you think that you know these things. And I was talking to Brother Don today and I was telling him, sometimes we think we know Godhead, and but when he brings it, we feel like we're getting deeper and things like that. And it's very, very, very good. It's getting deeper, and we the stuff that we have not looked for and looked at for a long time, brother. And they're very, very good. They're very good. And sometimes we think that, and very many people think that it is just one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's the thing that, and that is easy, and that people look at it, and we want to look at it like that. But now the prophet comes and tells us, no, it is just not like one man, one God like that, like just one figure standing there. I remember one time, Brother Don, I didn't want to read that. I didn't want to pray like Paul used to pray. But God of our Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't like that. And I was running away from that. Every time I see that scripture, I don't want it. And the thing is, you don't have revelation. That is why you really don't understand. But you think you understand, and something is not getting together there. But now we know. Now we know who he was. He was God-man. And that's exactly what we are. This church, church, the bride is God-man.
That's right.
It's God. It's God incarnated in a man. It's God tabernacled in the human flesh. Another thing, Brother Don, is that the Bible said he was mortal. Yeah, the motto, whenever you see the word motto means something that is not eternal.
That's right.
Immortal is something that's God. It's only God who can be immortal. And the body was mortal. Body was to die. It was actually brought here on earth to die. And that's good, Brother Don. I don't need to reach. I think you preach it already. And it's so good, and we praise God for this revelation. And I don't know how much... you know those they called magi?
Yes.
They came and gave what it meant, what he was.
Yes.
I wonder what we can give, brother.
Yeah.
If we really realize who this is, then brother, we can give all that we are to him. We can go all give everything, and yet it will not be enough.
That's right.
Praise be to God. Because we recognize who he is.
Yes.
Praise be to God. Let's pray. We feel very many times, Lord God, insufficient, Lord. We feel unworthy, God, because of these human bodies, Lord. But when you come around and tell us what you've done, Lord, that if you come like you did with Jesus, until Jesus could say, no man has gone to heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. Lord God, we are thrilled with that, Lord. You're so happy, Father, that that's exactly what you've done with us. We can say the same, Lord, that no man has gone to heaven except we who are in heaven, because we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus already, Lord. We are thankful for this revelation, Lord. We commit ourselves, Father, to you. We pray, Father, that you draw us to yourself. We pray, Father, that you give us that ability, Lord God, each one of us, that ability to surrender and give all that we are to you, because you are the only one that is worthy. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the service. Thank you for Brother John. We commit Brother Michael to you. Bless him as you bless us, Lord God. dismiss us, each one, Lord God, with a blessing. We can forget Sister Everett, Lord. My heart misses her, Lord. Sister Esther in Kenya, Lord God, and the children. We bless them, Lord. You also remember Bride, Lord, working. We bless them, Lord. All of them. Bless us together, Lord, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.